Good morning. A couple people said good morning. Good morning. That's better. I mean, is that what June gloom does to us? I mean, we're just, you know, although it's not June yet, last day of May, but close enough. I have a question for you.
Six.
42 is correct. Can someone say Isaiah 66 too? You know, we've said we're going to work on this. There's nothing like a little accountability. Isaiah 66 too. Yeah.
Oh, you mean without looking.
At this point, maybe I'll take it with someone looking. I don't know. Our verse on humility.
For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Yeah. I love that description of who God will esteem. And the NIV is, this is the one who I esteem, one who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. May we tremble at his word this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, may we diligently come to you. Come to your word as we ask you to refine us, as we ask you to change us on our quest for godly character. May it be about your character coming and impressing on us, engraving on our character. Lord, we ask that you open your word to us this morning. Open our hearts to what your spirit has to say. In your precious name, amen. This morning we continue our quest for godly character as we're on the path from pride to courage. And this morning we take a step. We've done pride, we've done humility, and now this morning we will look at integrity. I know a number of people out there are looking at jobs. And so just by way of helping, always here to help, I wanted to mention some terms you might find in employment ads that you might want to watch out for. Join our fast-paced company. If you see that, what that really means is we have no time to train you. Have you ever read competitive salary? What it might mean is we remain competitive by paying you less than our competitors. Must be deadline-oriented. Watch out for that one. It could mean you will be 6 months behind schedule on your first day. Some overtime required. I like this one. Some overtime required. Yeah, that might mean sometime every night and sometime every weekend. Duties will vary. Don't you hate that one in there? Duties will vary. Basically, that means anyone in the office can boss you around. Seeking candidates with a wide variety of experience. This is very appropriate in today's economy. What that really might mean is you will need to replace three people who just left as we are downsizing and trying to recover. Don't always say what they mean, though. And we live in a culture where there are so many times where people say and do one thing, or say one thing and do another, or life in a variety of different circumstances, in different settings, just appears inconsistent. And for some reason, that is accepted and that is tolerated and sometimes even applauded. And this morning, we want to explore that. We want to explore what integrity is and what God's character wants to do to our character in the area of truth, in the area of integrity. How can we live for our Lord and Savior and become more like Him? When you think of integrity, there's a number of words that come to mind, a number of thoughts that come to mind. Maybe the first thing we usually think of is honesty, if we're trying to define integrity. But integrity is actually a much bigger word than just honesty. Yes, it includes honesty. That is an integral part of integrity. But that's not all of it. As we look at the definitions, there's a couple of different aspects of integrity that come to mind. The dictionary defines integrity in a couple of different ways, but the first way is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. As you look in the biblical definitions, some of the words that you'll see that are used as synonyms for integrity are words like blameless, words like upright. Upright is sometimes translated integrity, sometimes translated upright. It's the same concept, purity and honesty. And as we look at this part of the definition, this has to do with integrity isn't just holding on to something firm, but holding the truth firm. And so the idea behind integrity is always that of truth, always that of moral uprightness. It's the question, is this right? Is this godly? I have some bricks up here that perhaps aren't the construction that you would make a house with, but bricks nonetheless. And if I was building a foundation with these bricks, one of the things I'd want to know is, are they true? And not that they're going to lie to me, but literally, are they true in the sense of, are they what they appear to be? Are these bricks that will hold me up? Now, these are made of cardboard, but they're not presenting themselves as made of anything else than cardboard. And so I know they're cardboard, but are they true? Will they hold up? And that's the idea behind moral uprightness and honesty and soundness of moral character. Integrity says, I know what is true, and I will hold to what is true. And what is true spiritually comes from the blameless righteousness that can only come from our Lord and Savior. That's the first aspect of integrity. The second aspect of integrity, if you read on in the dictionary and the other definition, is the state of being whole or entire or undiminished. The state of being whole, entire, and undiminished. And in biblical terms, if you look up a Bible dictionary, you see words like completeness or undivided. Completeness or undivided. And if you're building a structure, for instance, if we say these beams have integrity, that means they are whole and they will hold together, right? We're hoping for that this morning. And we're hoping that they hold together, and they're made of all kinds of little strips glued together, and those little strips are what they say they are, but glued together, they are whole, and by being together, they have structural integrity that holds up the roof. If that glue was to fail, and those wood strips were to come apart, run, because we don't know what's going to happen. The structural integrity is gone. And so if we think of bricks, the integrity, it's not only that they're bricks, but also, are they together? Are they whole? And in integrity, the idea is, am I consistent? Am I consistent? It's great to be true sometimes. It's great to obey God sometimes, but integrity puts it together into a whole and says, this is part of who I am. This is complete. And so we put bricks together. And when they're all together, let's do it this way, they can hold up. This is one of those things that you just hope works. And so by the strength of them all together, they can hold up. And integrity is something that the strength of completeness, of truth, completing every part of us, can hold up and become a firm foundation. Now let's say that I decide that I'm going to lose integrity in just one little part. Maybe we'll drop that one too. It's not convenient. And so now we have integrity that okay, these are still some aspects of truth. Don't want me to do it, huh? My son loves to play with these, and he's like, please don't crush them, Daddy. Please don't crush them. But in integrity, we take away part of the foundation, and we just compromise a little bit here, and we just compromise a little bit of truth there, and lie a little bit here because, hey, that works out, and we step on it, and it begins to crush, and it's crushing just on one side, and I'm going to fall backwards, and we're not going to do that. just trust me that it's crushing. And that becomes a word picture for what integrity means. Completeness, being undivided, but also being upright and honest in our behavior. If I was to put that together, I would say something like a solid adherence to righteousness, no matter the circumstances or audience. A solid adherence to righteousness, no matter the circumstances or the audience. And you get the both concepts there, the concept of righteousness and righteous behavior, but the concept of being solidly adherent to that, where nothing can divide it. And that's why we get the idea of consistency. Because if I'm solidly adhering to it, then I'm adhering to it all the time. I'm consistent. Yesterday, if anyone was watching the NASCAR race, which I do every now and then, one of the drivers was on the radio and he was, or being interviewed rather, and he was being interviewed about his car, and he began to describe his car and he cut himself off mid-sentence because he had to stop and say, "Oh wait, I'm not allowed to say those words on TV, huh?" Because it was obvious where he was going with his sentence. And I watched that and I thought about that and I thought about the idea of integrity. Because now suddenly we have duplicity and we have different standards for different audiences and we have something that is right for adults but somehow wrong for kids. But God's word says it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And there was a lack of integrity there while being perceived as honoring children. Integrity is a solid adherence to righteousness no matter the circumstances or the audience. This week, as I've been studying and meditating on integrity, I've got to say, it's a hard topic to study. It's a hard topic to talk about because so many different situations afford opportunities to be inconsistent. Much more than we would dream. And as you start to think about it, as you go through a week, you're like, oh man. Lord, I blew it there. I blew it there. And so I just want to throw it out as a question. How are we inconsistent? How do we lack integrity as a people? Don't have to give specific circumstances. Don't give circumstances on your spouse. Just don't. How do we show a lack of integrity as a culture, as a people?
Say one thing, do another.
Say one thing, do another.
Different person at home
or at work or in a variety of different circumstances. Absolutely.
Watch movies or go to venues that we know are not right.
Watch movies or go to venues that we know are not right. No one will see. It's a good show anyway.
Say what people want to hear rather than what's true.
Say what people want to hear rather than what's true. Strong temptation. When we don't stand up for what's right, and by not doing that, somehow give our approval by not saying something. Not as much discussion on this one.
We say we love our neighbors, but we don't know their names.
Wow. We say we love our neighbors, but don't know their names. When we put ourselves above others. A couple more. We need to be thinking as we explore integrity, how do we really struggle with this in everyday life? Because every one of us struggles with this. Every one of us.
Act like there's nothing wrong.
Act like there's nothing wrong. Justify our violations of rules and laws. It's huge. See, a lack of integrity is so overarching. It affects us in so many different areas. It affects our actions, the little things that we're willing to overlook, the little things we're willing to do for expedience sake. And as believers that are in a community of faith, it's not so much the large compromises or the large breaches of integrity that are the issue here, because we know those will be seen. We know those will be caught. The issues that we often struggle with are the small compromises, are the small violations. This morning, we need to understand there are no small compromises. There are just compromises. There are no small violations of God's will and God's word, just violations of God's word. Compromise is something that threatens to infiltrate everything we do, myself included, because we just don't stay as vigilant as we should sometimes. Our actions. Sometimes we compromise our actions to accomplish something or for personal gain. Babe Ruth was offered a good sum of money if he would allow himself to be photographed with a bottle of beer in his hand. The brewer wanted the picture for advertising purposes, and he replied, "You know what? I've autographed too many baseballs of little boys that shouldn't be drinking that. So I'm not going to do it, no matter the sum of money." An opportunity for compromise of his image. He said, "Many of these boys regard me as a hero, and I'll not do anything to compromise that." Little compromises. Maybe not taking responsibility for our actions, the things we don't say. Something happens and we watch someone else at work take the heat for something we did. And maybe we think, well, you know what? Last time I took the heat for them, so they sort of deserve it. Justice. And it's really a lack of integrity. Do our actions change depending on the circumstances, depending on the situation? In our words, the little exaggerations, the stories that become bigger every time we tell them, the omissions that we know may change the idea to the hearer. The small lies that we think avoid large trouble. Integrity. Driving laws. I've been late for Biola sometimes. And just like I know so many, it's like, okay, we can just push the speed limit here a little bit. We can do this a little bit. We're going to get there on time. And it's compromise to cover up for my own error. And it's an issue of integrity. Time we spend on the internet. Time we spend watching TV, going to movies. Not that those things in and of themselves are wrong, but where we let those go and what we allow into our minds and into our hearts. Statements like someone calls and we say, "Well, he's not here right now," as we're looking at them and they're going. Or someone calls and says, "Hey, how you doing on that?" "Oh, I've been working on that." And what we mean is, "I've been thinking about that for the last 5 seconds. Music downloads that we don't pay for. We could go on and on and on. But my proposition this morning is that we all struggle with integrity. And we all at some point in our lives have to make some decisions, probably every day, of am I going to be a man or a woman of integrity? Or am I going to be a man or a woman that cares more about myself? Am I going to be consistent and whole to the truth? Or am I going to be double-minded? In Proverbs 11:3, we read, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. So that's what integrity is. That's how it affects us. It affects all of us. We could go on and on with examples, work-related, home-related, interpersonally related. But integrity is something that we all quest for and should strive for. And as we look at some of the thoughts about integrity, the first point there is integrity is a test. Integrity is a test of the heart, specifically between pride and humility. It's a test between pride and humility of which one we're going to choose. If we put up our next slide, we've talked about moving from self-centeredness at the bottom to Christ-centeredness at the top. And the particular path we're on is from pride to courage. And we talked about that the obstacle here is pride. That's the first thing to overcome. And last week we shared how that is overcome by humility, a surrender to God, a complete abandonment of ourselves to God. That is the only way to tackle the giant of pride. But then integrity is the next step because it becomes a real life practical test between pride and humility. This is when we get into situations and we look, are we going to act with integrity? This is how we know where we're at on the path before this. Are we acting in pride still? Or have we given this over to God and submitted that His way is best and His word is best? And I will follow it even if there's no personal gain and perhaps personal hardship, because I will have integrity. We can just leave that up there. So that's where we're at. Integrity follows humility. It's the outgrowth of humility. It's putting humility into practice. But it's a test, and it's a test that is given by God. A final exam that God knows our hearts to be able to score it and give the grade. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen the joy, how willingly your people who are here have given to you. God tests the heart. And when he finds integrity, he is pleased. He is pleased because it represents a humbling of ourselves to him rather than a prideful self-centeredness. Job in Job 31, and we'll look at the beginning of Job a little bit later this morning, but towards the end of this conversation, he says to God something that it's a little scary to say. In Job 31, 5 and 6, if I have walked in falsehood or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales and he will know that I am blameless. And it's a test of blamelessness or integrity. And he says, if I have any deceit, if I've lied, test me and you'll know. But God was in the process of dealing with pride and humility with Job. And will he humble himself under the hand of a mighty God? Psalm 7:8 says the same thing. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. The Lord gives the test, and it's the test between pride and humility. The result is either integrity or lack thereof. And it's a test that happens in the dark recesses of our heart, when nobody is around, when nobody is looking. The test of integrity isn't when we're in front of people. It's when there are no consequences, we think. It's when nobody is looking. When we are finally honest with our hearts, can we answer the question, am I going to act with integrity or am I going to act with pride? It's the private times that show that. One author said, the best measure of a man's honesty isn't his income tax return. It's the zero adjust on his bathroom scale. You turn that thing down a little bit, you just weigh less. It's great. But it's a private time just between you and God. Will you act with integrity? See, if you think about this, if you look at this progression and think about why don't we act with integrity at times, usually there's some basic reasons why we struggle with integrity. Number one, we think there's some personal benefit to a different course of action. We think there's some way that I'm going to benefit or I'm going to prosper. And so that's one of the reasons we often violate integrity or we lie. Sometimes it's not to benefit me, but to benefit someone else. Sometimes it's to get out of something we know we deserve. It's to avoid a consequence. In reality, we only delay and we worsen them. And so we lie to benefit ourselves, whether it be through reputation or money, or in view of others as we benefit them. We lie to avoid consequences or give up integrity to somehow benefit ourselves. But it never seems to work out that way. Pride is the direct enemy of integrity. Over the years, I've had opportunity, especially when I was in business, to work with a lot of businesses, to talk with a lot of business owners. And as I would talk with them, I could see different trends that would come up. And I remember one gentleman who was the type of leader that would never take responsibility for his own actions. It was always someone else's fault. And there was never this standing up and saying, yeah, that was me. I did that. Well, that's a lack of integrity, but that's coming from pride. And you could see that in his life. He was so desperate to look good and so desperate to boost himself up. There was no way to take responsibility for actions. The temptation is sometimes to take matters into our own hand and maybe twist the truth a little bit to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And that's pride. And it's pride because we're saying, number one, what I want to accomplish is more important than what you want to accomplish. And so I'm going to twist the truth because I can't trust that if I do things right, and I can't trust that if I do things honestly and go through the right channels that it's going to happen. And so we go around and we skirt and we try to get our way through manipulation or through other methods. And really what we're saying is my way is so important to me that I will compromise to get it. And that's pride. That's pride. And that's why integrity is in this path. But in reality, Scripture says it's not worth it. We don't protect ourselves. We don't accomplish anything. In fact, in Proverbs 19:1, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. Better a poor man who hasn't gotten the financial benefit, who hasn't accomplished what he wants to accomplish. Better a poor man with integrity than the fool with lying lips. We need to understand the relationship between pride to humility to integrity. Proverbs 21:29 says, a wicked man puts up a bold front, but an upright man gives thought to his ways. In Habakkuk 2:4, again, we see the connection. See, he is puffed up, speaking of pride. He is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith, or literally faithfulness. And so he's contrasting the one that's puffed up, that's seeking his own desires, with the righteous who are men and women of integrity. To work on integrity, we have to go through the step of humility. Because if we've left pride in our lives, working on integrity is worthless. But in humility, coming completely broken before God, as we talked about, understanding that the fear of God is what brings integrity, because it's that fear of God and humility that now frees us from our own desires, frees us from our own thoughts of how things should be, to say, okay, God, your way is right. Then we can work on integrity. Then we can work on consistency. In Nehemiah chapter 7, as Nehemiah is putting different people in charge of different things, he puts Hanani, in charge of Jerusalem. And he says, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. Because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. And integrity is tied with the fear of God. Humility, surrender to God. They cannot be separated. Are we willing to do what's right? Are we willing to pass the test between pride and humility, to give up personal gain to do what's right? One historian recorded that Henry Clay, who was about to introduce a certain bill in Congress, and a friend told him, if you do, Clay, it will kill your chances for the presidency. And he answered, but is the measure right? But is the measure right? And on being assured it was right, he said, I would rather be right than president. Can we say that? That's the test. Personal gain versus integrity. Why do we obey? See, in public, we can obey for all kinds of different reasons, but in private, between myself and my God, I obey because I love God and because I surrender to Him. That has to be the motivation for obedience. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So integrity is a test. Sort of gets us to where we're going. Number two, integrity pleases God and He honors it. It pleases God and He honors it specifically because it reflects His character. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. A fascinating story of the Pharisees that are coming to trick Jesus, and they send some people to trick Jesus, but they make some comments about His integrity that help us understand and pursue integrity this morning. Matthew 22. We'll start at verse 15. Matthew 22:15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Him in His words. They sent their disciples to Him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus goes on, calls them hypocrites for trying to trick Him, and then answers in a way that traps them. But it's fascinating to watch, and Mark records the same story. It's fascinating to see how they describe our Lord and Savior as a man of integrity. And the first thing we need to understand is that integrity is the character of God. It reflects His character of truth. We know that you are a man of integrity. So Christ Himself was a man of integrity. But in that you teach the way of God in accordance to truth. Comes back to the first part of our definition, doesn't it? The way of God is truth. And integrity reflects God's character of truth. In Isaiah 45:22, great statements of God's character throughout Isaiah. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. My mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow. By me every tongue will swear. God is a God of integrity. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? He's a God of integrity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did you catch truth in there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's a God of integrity. And because his character is integrity, he is pleased with integrity. He looks for integrity. That's what he desires for us. And that becomes the foundation. His attributes of truth become the foundation for our desire for integrity. Integrity reflects God's character of truth. God also rewards integrity. Not always here, not always now, not always in the way we think, but he rewards integrity. Proverbs 14:11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright, or the one with integrity, will flourish. Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The prayer of the upright pleases him. And so we know as we look at integrity and continue to explore it, that it pleases God and he honors it because it reflects his character. But then going back to the Matthew 22 passage, we get to the next aspect of integrity. We know that you are a man of integrity. Christ has integrity. And that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. It's God's character. And then catch the next phrase. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. And the third point about integrity is not dependent. I know, that's not a full sentence, and you can... not dependent on what? That's what the points answer, the sub-points. But integrity is not dependent. This has to do with the idea of consistency, of wholeness. And number one, it's not dependent on people or who we're around. Truth doesn't change. For Christ, they realized and they understood that he didn't sway depending on who he was around. The truth stayed the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. They're not saying that Christ didn't care about men, but he didn't pay attention to what they thought about that aspect of truth to figure out whether it's truth or not. Christ didn't take a lot of polls to decide what to teach on. He taught on truth. And integrity is not dependent on people. It's not dependent on who we're around. It's not affected by what people ask us to do because truth doesn't change. People will respect integrity, but they will not always like it. In fact, it might meet resistance at times. In Proverbs, we have several verses. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity. There we go. That's a challenge for the morning. And seek to kill the upright. Go with God. Proverbs 29:27, a little later in the same chapter, the righteous detests the dishonest. The wicked detests the upright. And so it will be met with resistance. People don't like to see integrity. People will challenge it because if you're not compromising, they feel more guilty when they compromise. And it becomes a light. But integrity is not dependent on people. And in the face of resistance, it holds firm. James Cash Penny. Maybe you've been to one of his stores, JCPenney's. Has many, many stores. We could list some of the stats, but I think 1,660 stores when he passed away and annual sales of $4.1 billion. But his first venture was telling. Butcher shop in Longmont. Opened in 1899 and failed almost immediately. It failed because he refused to bribe people. He refused to bribe an important local hotel chef with a weekly bottle of bourbon. And because of that, and because of the opposition to that, he lost everything he had. but he refused to compromise. He held to his integrity. He said that, but I learned never to compromise. And he started over and became an incredibly successful man that held to his principles. Integrity does not depend on people, because we will be opposed by people. People will try to distract. But the other thing about integrity is it does not depend on circumstances. The truth does not change when we get into trouble. The truth does not change when we think we have an easy way to avoid trouble. If I just say this, no one will know. The truth does not change on circumstances. I've heard people say, well, you know, I sort of have to fudge the truth a little bit here. Otherwise, it would be just really difficult. And I'd rather sin just a little bit here than get into a lot of trouble here. And that's pride talking. That's pride and a lack of integrity. Turn with me to Job chapter 2. Keep your finger in the Matthew passage, but Job chapter 2. And many of us know the story of Job, a man who had everything, rich, big family, respect. And through a series of events, all of that was removed from him. His children were killed and his fortune lost as he was tested and his integrity was tested. And in Job chapter 2, towards the end of a number of these events, starting at verse 3, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, literally a man of integrity. A man who fears God, and we see the fear of God tied to integrity, and shuns evil. He still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. And after all of these things, all of these circumstances, Job held his integrity by still fearing God, by still following God. His wife, down in verse 9, didn't exactly help matters. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. And she was saying, literally, the circumstances, look at what's happening. Are you stupid? Curse God and die. How can you hold on to still following a God and still holding true to blameless truth when all of this had happened? But see, integrity is not dependent on circumstances. Circumstances should never lead to compromise, because it's a test of integrity. We've seen that integrity is a test of the heart. Integrity reflects the character of God. He is pleased by it. He honors it. And integrity is not dependent. Fourth point there, last point. Integrity protects. Integrity protects us. This is sort of the ironic point of the whole thing. Because usually when we give up integrity, we are trying to protect ourselves. We are trying to gain some personal benefit ourselves. And it never seems to work out that way. But in reality, God says, I have given my instructions, I have given my law to protect you. And so a firm adherence, a solid adherence to those principles, no matter the circumstances, no matter what happens, protects us because they are God's principles. Integrity protects us. First of all, from sin, from trouble. Psalm 25, 20 and 21, guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. See, again, the first point was it's a test. And if it's pride, then I'm trusting myself to protect me. I'm trusting in Ron. But integrity says I'm going to be upright and righteous and trusting God. And if it comes to trusting Ron or God, go with God every time. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. But yet every time we compromise and lose our integrity, we are trusting ourselves instead of God. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Proverbs 10:9, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Isn't it true that a lack of integrity almost always comes back to bite you sometimes? Sometime. Things get found out, and it's worse. If we just follow God's way. It protects us from sin, from trouble, but integrity also guides us. Cool thing with integrity is that it really makes a lot of hard decisions easy. A lot of hard decisions in life are really tests of integrity. And if we come back and say, I'm going to be a man or I'm going to be a woman of integrity, it helps guide us because we have a path. The verse that is down at the bottom is a memory verse, Proverbs 11:3. I believe that's the one that's down there. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Protects us from sin, from trouble. It guides us, protects us from that uncertainty. But it protects us from a life of cover-up, fear, and anxiety. Because the thing is, once we lose our integrity and start down a path of covering things up and start down a path of doing things we know we shouldn't be, it just has to snowball. There's no other way. And then we live in fear of being caught, or we live in fear of someone finding out, or fear of, oh, what do I say at church? I got to remember the story I told there, and what do I say with these other friends, and what happens if I have friends from both groups, the same event? And I don't even know how to act then. But integrity is consistency that doesn't change, and it frees us from a life of cover-up, fear, and anxiety. Protects our reputation. Aristotle once was asked what a man could gain by uttering falsehoods, and he replied, not to be credited when he shall tell the truth. The result of lying would be to not be credited when you tell the truth. Protects us from sin, guides us from a life of cover-up. And the fourth one is so important. A life of integrity protects our children. A life of integrity protects our children. Not that there's any guarantees. They will make their own choices. But in Proverbs 27, the righteous man leads a blameless life, a life of integrity. Blessed are his children after him. See, without integrity, we are directly harming our children. That's how important this is. Number one thing, as high school and college students have been interviewed across the nation about why they leave Christ and why they leave the church, and the number one thing usually is hypocrisy, whether it be in the church or in the home. Mom and dad say this, but they do this. Because your kids know whether you're men or women of integrity. Your kids know. You're not going to hide it. They know if you're different at home. They know how you think of authority. They know how you think of laws. They know the importance you place on God's word or the lack of importance you place on God's word. They know. And integrity is how you pass the values on of righteousness in Christ. Protects and blesses our children. We were watching Mark play soccer the other day. And Mark was on defense, and I don't actually sit during his soccer games. I just sort of follow him around. And so I was over there by him at the end, and one of the best players on the team was playing goalie. And his dad was right behind the goal, and I was standing right next to his dad, and his dad was very upset that his son wasn't up in the front scoring all the goals, which he could score, and score a lot of goals. And I was listening to this conversation, and the son came back and was playing goalie or defense back in the back, and that was his position, and the coach said, you need to stay there for when the ball comes here, and the dad said, son, you just need to go play. You just need to go play. But dad, coach said, son, you go play. Dad, coach told me to stay here. Son, it doesn't matter what coach said. You go kick that ball and you go have fun. And in a moment of compromise, what does that do to that son? What values have been instilled and passed on? Integrity is just another word on a path. But it is vital and huge to our walk with Christ. Protect our children. Bless our children with integrity. No, none of us are going to be perfect at it. Let me tell you. But are we striving for it? Just want to end with how. You might say, man, I wish we would have taken a half hour on the how. But we have to understand the importance, and we have to understand that it's pride that it's coming out of when we struggle with integrity. Because then the how becomes a lot easier. And the first part of it is to make sure we are living in the fear of God and in humble submission to God. Humble submission that says, I don't care what God says, I will follow it. I don't care if I understand it. I don't care if I like it. I don't care if it makes me late or if it hurts me. I will follow it because I trust God. That's the start of the how. Deciding that you want to obey, even in the little hidden things that don't matter. Couple of other hows, just as we close. Seek accountability. Seek accountability from those closest to you. Husbands and wives, get it from your spouse. High schoolers, get it from your parents. Can you believe I just said that? If you're struggling with integrity in an area, go to mom and dad and say, can you help me in this area? Can you call me on it when I fail here? It'd be amazing for your relationship, but it would be better for your walk with God. It is easy for me to tell stories. I love to tell stories. And sometimes you just, you know, leave out certain details and exaggerate a little bit. And early on in our marriage, Susie would talk to me and she'd say, yeah, that really bugs me. Like, what do you mean? It's just a story. And we talked about it, and it was an issue of integrity. And so we decided at that point that she would call me on it whenever I got my facts wrong, whenever I was a little off on the story, she'd call me on it. And that helped in some cases and didn't help in others. And so we finally said, okay, this is important enough that if I do that and I don't respond, that you call me on that in front of the people I'm talking to. And she did that a couple times. And it wasn't fun. But that's how important integrity is. Are we willing to risk personal loss to be men and women of integrity? That's accountability. Live in fear of God. Humble. Fear of God. Find ways to be held accountable. And if you know you're going into situations where compromise is an issue, Just stop right beforehand and pray about it and pray that God be with you and God watch what you do. Invite him into the process. Know that he is there. May we be men and women of integrity. May that be what our humility blossoms into. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we struggle. We struggle with integrity because we are self-willed men and women so many times. But Lord, through your grace and through your strength, you can form us into who you want us to be. May you reveal to us areas where we struggle. Those hidden areas that we keep secret just between us and you, but you know. May you work on those things. Challenge us to be men and women that are seeking your character. This week, Lord God, find ways to challenge us, to expose what needs to be exposed, to help us take the hard route, but the better route of integrity. In your precious name, amen.